will remember this first one. It was years ago. We were going together to minister in Ogbomosho with Fred Adegoke. And I shared the revelation about a lot of people carrying firewood on their head. I think I shared it at Full Gospel that time. I don't know. Okay. A lot of people carrying firewood on their heads. And it happened in a place where some of us were repairing a road. We were making it smoother. Okay? And then I saw these people just appear. A lot of them on the road just coming. And then immediately, I was taken to another scene. I now saw those people sitting somewhere, just waiting. Either standing or sitting, just waiting. Quiet, sad. Then I went there. And I said, who are these? What are they doing here? And somebody said to me, they are waiting for food. And I said, what period is this? And the person said, 5 years from now. That was the end of the revelation. So I shared it in different fellowships. I shared it with prayer partners. I said, please pray, please pray. Something is coming. It looked like me, so much firewood, drought, and so on and so forth. Well, you know, it is projected that if we're not careful in Africa, most of Africa will become desert. Not too long from now. But I would now see that revelation come in its first wave when there was the first genocide in Rwanda. And I saw on television, I saw the Rwandans carrying their things on their heads on the road, all of them, just like I saw in the revelation, straight. And they were going as refugees. And hunger, thirst, everything. And they were dying in big numbers. Of course, that time, an estimated close to between 300,000 and 500,000 of them were slaughtered in Rwanda. And then I went to Cape Coast, Ghana, on sabbatical leave. And this, I don't remember, I don't have it here. Okay. 98, maybe? I don't remember now. The second attack. I think it was 98. There was a revenge. Okay. Got two groups. Okay. January, I saw this revelation. I saw a lot of people gathered. And I was there. When you're seeing a revelation, it's because you're there. God took you there. God took you into the future. I hope you follow me now. So I stood there. And then a man came. Little, bulky, not fat. Man of war. Flanked by a few aides. There was a platform. And the man came and mounted the platform. And he wanted to address the people who were waiting, and they gave him a chair, and he sat down to address them. You know, that's very unusual. I mean, when you want to address the crowd, you stand up. Even if you were sitting before, you stand up. But he sat down to address the people. Now, where I was, I got this inspiration that there was danger. I said, I'm getting out of here. So I started to move to get out. Then I saw that a lot of people had also sensed what I knew. They started to move. I went some distance, then I stopped. I realized that all of those who had gone ahead of me had got into a death trap. In other words, they were fleeing from death, and they fled into death. Then I said, oh my God, how can this happen to so many people? And I woke up. Usually when I say a thing like that, I write. And I sent to some churches, I sent to some prayer partners, I said, pray about this thing. April of that year was the revenge, again in Rwanda. Up till today, the United Nations is trying to go and dig out the mass graves of those who were killed. They have not really succeeded. April of that year, I was in Ghana, I distributed letters again. I shared it in the church, I distributed letters. A lot of Rwandans, again, another onslaught, they fled and came to the outskirts of the Congo and camped there. If you saw the pictures, you would weep. On CNN, this thing was described as the death hug. You see two children, maybe sisters or brothers and sisters, whatever, they will hug each other like that in hunger and thirst, and they will sleep and die together. And you will see flies. And then you wonder, this human body, for God's sake. But while they were there seeking refuge, Laurent Kabila came with his rebel group and overthrew Mobutu while those people were there. And when he overthrew Mobutu, it came a time when he came to address the people. And I was watching on television, and he mounted the platform, and they gave him a chair, and he sat down. I hope you follow me. And he sat down, and he addressed them. And after he addressed the people realized, this is trouble. Then they started to flee. Now, the rainforest of the Congo, very thick rainforest. The people thought that it was better to flee through the rainforest, where they will not be easily seen. Hundreds of thousands of them went into the rainforests, and they were slaughtered and buried in mass graves. The United Nations was searching for them with low-flying helicopters, searching. They couldn't see them. They are still trying up till now to get to know what actually happened to a lot of those people. In other words, we should be careful about revelations, to pray. Look, optimism is good, believe me, but when optimism is not spiritually inspired, it can be foolish. Are you following me? It can be foolish. It is better to respect the revelation than to prophesy in optimism against something that's revealed. There are times when you should take action. Like I said to people, when the Pharaoh had his dream, and Joseph interpreted. Are you not surprised that Joseph did not say, "Oh Pharaoh, you must pray"? Did he say that?
No.
He didn't even say that. See, this is a situation that you cannot avoid. Pharaoh, prepare. Sometimes preparation makes more sense. Preparation makes more sense than just praying. But if you pray and prepare, you are better off. I hope you follow me now.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So let me share these two revelations now about Nigeria. I shared them in the past, but we now want to consider them again and look at some things about them. And after considering, sharing the two, we begin to ask our questions and discuss. Praise the Lord. You will remember the revelation of the big airplane. Some of you will remember. Okay. I shared it here. That was 2005. What I wrote then, I think I have it here. I wrote immediately. Usually when I see a thing like that, I wake up in the night as soon, because you have to write things down, otherwise you may forget some things. I wake up in the night, I begin to write. My wife wakes up and sees me, and she says, "Odirinko." You know? Praise the Lord. But that is the way to do it. Now, it was this big airplane, and people were sitting in the plane. And then the plane started to move on the runway as if to take off. But suddenly, the plane was in the city, on the road, you know, just moving. And then we started to say, so this plane can travel on a city road like this? We thought the pilot was good, but you know our towns, they're not planned. And cars go like this between houses. That's how the plane was going. And then, as we were pressing the pilot, we saw a tree in front. We saw a big tree. And I looked at the wings of the plane. I looked at the spans. And I saw that nothing would cause us to miss that tree. It was not possible. The plane came along, and the left wing of the plane hit the tree, and the left wing detached and flew aside. Next, the plane came to a stop. You know, there was no way that it could fly, okay, with one wing. It came to a stop, but when it came to a stop, we were no longer in the city, we were right in the bush. So we started to say, "We're in the bush. They will not even know that we're here." You know, when a plane crashes or whatever, they will spend some time looking, trying to locate it. We were saying, "They will not even know that we're here. How do we get out of here?" Then about three of us got out of the plane. And as we were pondering over how to get help, we heard a sound from the bush. And then we looked. And there were these beings coming from the bush. All of them about the same height, not more than that. Each one of them had a turban on the head. Each one of them had a staff in hand. The staff was taller than the man, or the thing, not to say man. Okay. I shared this when Yakubu Gawan came about 3 years ago, Nigeria Press. I shared it. And when they came, they mounted the plane from the front end, mounted and went all the way to the roof. As soon as they got to the roof, they turned into wild pigs, and they started to run towards the tail of the plane. So they were many. They kept coming. They kept coming, like, you know, a herd of wild pigs running towards the tail of the plane. And we stood watching them, and they kept coming until the revelation was over. Now, like I said, at Nigeria Press, when I was sharing this, you don't need a prophet to tell you who they were because of the description. The turban on the head, the staff in hand, Islam, call it the spirit of Islamic fundamentalism, call it Islamic radicalism, whatever you call it. But the point is this, the plane is Nigeria. The people are Nigerians. The pilot is a head of state, whoever he is. The rough roads, things we have been through. I hope you follow my point. The tree standing, a situation in the future that we will not be able to avert. It was a rigid thing. You can't move it. When I shared this some time ago, and I said the left wing hit the plane and detached and flew aside. There was a map of Nigeria. Somebody looked and looked at this side. And I said, you missed it. You missed it. Left, the left wing does not refer to a geographical left wing. It refers to an ideological left wing. Do you follow my point? The left wing. You ask me what I suspect, I will say maybe the south-south. Are you following me now? Don't look at it geographically at all. It's ideological. It's a legitimate terminology. Do you follow my point? They say the left wingers. Eh? Okay. That's what the left wing represents. So what it means is this, that eventually, whatever the left wing is, will detach from Nigeria and be separated. Are you following me now? Okay. Now, as for the little things coming from the bush, what it meant, I said it here that time, what it meant was that since the plane was Nigeria, these Islamic things are going to come from outside Nigeria. Are you following me? And because they came from the front and mounted from the front is the north. Are you following me? So they will infiltrate into Nigeria from across the northern borders, and as wild pigs will trample on precious things. They will do a lot of damage, and they will advance southwards. That is what it is. And surprisingly, since that time, a lot of things have happened. Islamic radicals have been infiltrating into Nigeria more and more. It will increase. Let me tell you, it will increase. But pray that God will give us a way out. Shortly after I shared it here, I don't remember the period, I traveled to the U.S. and this big trouble in Maiduguri area happened. You know? The last one that happened in Maiduguri. And that happened. And I said, I hope that somebody back at home is reading this, because it was said conclusively they came from outside Nigeria. You follow me? Now, I don't know if you saw how that man was killed. I saw it. It was on the internet. There was a website. They'll direct you there. You click and you go there. And it will play the video of how they killed the man. Cold blood. You will know that somebody wanted to silence him. Don't talk. They had captured him. They were just walking. They were marching him along. And you will hear the gunshot. Pow! Pow! And the man just fell. I can still try to get the website and send it to you. You can go on the internet. It should be there. Straight. And I'm surprised that nobody had raised any heat as to why did you shoot him like that. In any civilized country, if you have captured a man, you don't shoot him like that. That is called extrajudicial killing. It is called extrajudicial killing. So we don't know what we're up to in this country. Anybody can stand up and blame some people, but you don't know who is involved in what. That is the point. Praise the Lord. So let us hold on to that one for now. Let me share the other one. I shared it before. Let me share it again. And then I'll tell you my fears as pertaining to that one. Oh, as for these people infiltrating, I know that they came down as far as to Bumasho. They come in secret groups. Our pastor in one of the villages said the police invited religious leaders to a meeting because they had seen some of them. And they warned the religious leaders, anybody who harbors them, we will take him as one of them. They go into villages. They go into mosques. You know? And somebody told me, that some of them were found in Lagos. They came to Bumasho. They had taken video recordings at the seminary. They had taken video recordings in one Christian high school, private high school. So they're collecting information. Praise the Lord. Now, let me share the other one, and then we'll begin our free talk. Now, the other one that I shared was this. I said that I saw a lot of us gathered, Nigerians, in a place. And suddenly, an alarm sounded. Ooh, ooh. And all of the northerners pulled out. All of them went under a canopy. Like in a stadium, you have a pavilion. All of them just pulled out, and they went under it, and they stood like that. And they were looking at us out. And again, I looked, and I said, oh my God. How do we get all of these people out of here? So I went to the southerners. I said, don't worry. We will do whatever we can do to get you out of here. And it was over. Now, one, I explained. The northern Muslims have a voice. They have a leadership. They know what they're doing, and they're together in it. They are under a canopy together. Listen, in Rwanda, I have a video. How many people have seen Hotel Rwanda? Hotel Rwanda. Okay, I haven't really seen it. I was given one, but I haven't really sat down to watch it. But they told me what was there. In Rwanda, when the first genocide was going to occur, the people that were going to be slaughtered had rumors. But they were not sure that it could be true. The people that were going to kill them all knew what they were going to do. They just waited for the signal to do it. And when the signal came, like they do in the north, they did not separate friends from enemies. No matter how close you were to any of them, they revealed you to those who kill you. In Rwanda. So the alarm that sounded to me was the signal that they would get. My fear is this, and pray about it, that very soon there will not be a sporadic attack on the southerners. Sudden attack. The one that will be like what happened to the Igbos before the Civil War. It has happened before. When something will trigger their reaction and they will begin to slaughter the southerners en masse. And the reason I shared the first two with you was to let you know that God had revealed such things to me before in the past, and they had come to pass. I pray that this doesn't come to pass, but don't bet it. Look, pray about it. Simple good judgment. If I were living in the north and I have this revelation, I'll move. Forget it. Look, sometimes we want to say that we have faith. But faith is obedience to the word of God. That is faith. When people were told to move, if Chakarian did not move, do you follow me now? Look, there is wisdom. In fact, it's obedience. There is no wisdom in disobedience. There is no faith in disobedience. When they were told, get out of here, something is coming. Do you follow me? Those who moved got the mercy of God. Those who did not move waited for wrath. So please, optimism, like I said, is good. But when optimism is in the flesh, it is bad. Praise the Lord. So, I don't know what lies in the future of this country, but I begin to smell serious danger. There are others. I was looking at my diary years ago. I saw young Nigerians with guns and axes, you know? And I noted in my diary, they are very young. They had something like Air Force uniform. I don't know, what do you call Air Force? Is it Navy Blue or whatever? What do you call Air Force uniform? Is it Navy Blue, whatever it is? They had, I said, Air Force uniform. Rebellious young ones, noted in my diary. And at that time, I didn't know the Bakassi boys. I hope you follow me. And they are marine enough. If it's navy blue, then the navy, it tells that they are marine children. I hope you follow my point. Yeah, you know, revelations, it is when things begin to happen sometimes that you can tie a revelation together. Okay. Then I started to read it. So this must have referred to the Bakassi boys and so on and so forth. the South, there is no leadership. There is no leadership. We're not organized. We have no leaders. There is no voice. And we're left in the open. Islam operates like a cult. Thank God for liberty. I love liberty, but I don't like being a disorganized people. I hope you follow me. Okay. So these are the ones I want to share because we don't have a lot of time. I think it's enough. Let us discuss as usual. Anybody has something to say? Anybody has a question to ask? Let's bring them up. Anybody has a comment? Yes, that's fine. 10 minutes. So? Somebody? Yes, please. Do we have a... Okay, good. Hallelujah.
I want to say that perhaps, of course, it's not by accident that I'm here this evening. I live in the city of Jos, and I pastor there. I have a mandate to move around there and perhaps to Fano. When we had this recurring crisis in Jos, I checked my library and I went to search for your book. Apocalypse.
Yes.
Memos of the prophet.
I see. Okay.
I brought it on my table. You know, some of those predictions about the future of Nigeria and some of these forecasts by the United States intelligence and the likes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of those things that are worrisome, which we have observed, in fact, they tell us that Jaws is a major obstacle that they have. That by the time Jaws is conquered, they said they will capture the South by jihad.
Okay.
And I feel a lot of ministers in the South, they do not believe it. Some people tell me that it will never happen. I said, tell me your evidences.
Okay.
He said, God will not allow. He said, hey, go and read history. The whole of North Africa, before Muhammad was born. You know, and all of those things that happened there. But today, yeah. Essentially,
yeah.
You know, it's Islamic. Well, about 1 month ago, they found 2 lorry loads of Boko Haram people in Benue, in Makurdi.
I see.
And the whole place was tensed. The PFM chairman for Plateau State is from Benue State.
Okay.
He said the whole of the city also has been filled with police, just like Jos. For over 1 year, we have been on curfew in Plateau State. And up to now, by 5, 6 p.m., everybody goes home. And the thing is spreading. These people are always battle ready.
Yeah.
Some of those soldiers told us that the weapons they carry, that the Nigerian army doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And worse still, this last one in Jos, the Nigerian army, some of those elements, the Islamic elements, helped them, shielded them, protected them, and even killed. This is a fact.
Yeah.
Kept the Christians from attacking if they come out, they will deal with them, they will waste them. And during 24-hour curfew, those people are calling their team 12 midnight and 5 a.m. to, and after a few hours, a lot of places have been burnt down. You know, the people there, of course, nobody can preach to them again about that they should not defend themselves.
No.
I intend to ask a question at the end of this my thing, that what should the righteous do? Everywhere I've been going, I've been telling people that of course we should pray for Nigeria. But I think of course we should pray for not prayer alone. I am of the opinion, in fact I was going to see lawyer Akintoye to ask him that what are the Christian lawyers doing, you know, regarding constitutions. You know, how can they also, you said that they have a leader, they have a voice. It is true we don't have it in the South.
No, we don't.
They have organized plans and they execute them in phases.
Yeah.
One major strategy is aggression. They fight. They everything that they have, they put there until they put pressure until they get whatever they want. Now they are asking for an emirate in Jos. Yes. They're asking for, and somebody has been to be the emir. They don't know when, but at least the battle has been on. And a lot of people are misinformed. They don't know what is going on.
Yeah.
Say genocide, and they have international media to their support, and they are very good in propaganda. But a lot of people do not know the real truths, so that the church can actually speak and support and help those who are at the battlefront. So, sir, this is a message which everybody should hear, and of course we should take action upon. In fact, I made up my mind that when I come here, I arrived some 2 Thursdays ago. I was going to see the PFN leader in Kwara State and the CAN leader to say I should not say that my voice, my little contribution will not count. Let me say it first.
Oh yeah.
I plan that when I travel to the South, maybe my dad still lives in Abeokuta, I will go and see the pastor of OBJ, the Baptist church he attends, not the man, to tell them what is happening. They use everything that they have to mobilize, to prepare for this war. And all of this investigation and the past report that they are crying that they have not implemented in Plateau State. Some of these big people like IPP, they are
of course.
So what are our own people who have held political offices, and what are they doing?
Well, they
to checkmate them, to stop them.
They are amassing money. They are making money. They are making money. Praise the Lord. Well, do you realize that the church itself is getting deeper and deeper into money-making messages? The devil can divert you from the more important things and plant the elemental things in your heart. Money, money, money. Do you follow me? Faith brings money. Do you follow me now? You don't know that money can be dead useless. Useless. When I was looking at refugees, I told people, I said, look at refugees sitting there waiting for food. Among them, you will see doctors. You will see all types of people. Do you follow me? You will see rich people. You will see poor people. When you become a refugee, you have no status anymore. You are a refugee, period. You will see all of them there. It's not just for poor people. When death is coming, everybody flees. I hope you follow me. You lose your status. You're a refugee. They will dish food to you if it is available. May God help us. Now, let me say this before I take that. About 2 weeks ago, I was talking at the Miracle Center. I didn't hear this, but somebody raised up his hand and said he heard on Voice of America that in North Africa, they are currently training, Al-Qaeda is training people to come into Nigeria for jihad. So if you didn't believe the revelation, at least you will believe Voice of America. I hope you follow my point. So they're training them in North Africa to infiltrate into Nigeria and carry out jihad. Yes. So that is a confirmation of the revelation. Okay, praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think the spirit of the Lord is one. In fact, this evening, I just said I will see one or two people about what I'm hearing, because I, the Mali from DSTV, I watch Al Jazeera.
Okay.
Much more.
Okay.
And Al Jazeera is fuller than CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And since I have no work to do, that is what I I do mostly so that I know where to direct my prayers to. So one thing I just want to say is that this evening I wanted to talk that actually we are hearing that so many planning are going on. 2 days ago I got a newspaper on Friday. That was, what is that? I can't remember now. But the army boys are crying that the top officers are now Muslims. And they are crying a lot. And I just want us to say, as a body of Christ, who gospel is large enough to pray? If we cannot do anything, we can pray to start with. I shared one revelation I had to about a year and a half ago with my husband. I prayed so the thing will never happen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I prayed it will never happen. But we just have to pray. I think who gospel can take some days, announce it to every member, to go into fasting, but what if it's only 3 days, and to pray? Because these people, they are really ready.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Well, like I told you, I just shared a few of the revelations. There are many of them.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Is it off? Okay.
Unfortunately, several Christians were killed in Jos. Where are they now? Were they, I know they are killed, but where are their souls? Were they serious Christians? As we are getting ready physically, we should get ready spiritually. I pray none of us will die in it.
Amen.
But those who died in Jos, what was the state of their relationship with God, with Christ, when they died?
Yeah.
So that they will not lose twice. The Lord will help us as we prepare maybe to run. As we start running to Mopan, hide in one of these. As we prepare to run, or prepare to avoid all these things, God will help us to pray spiritually.
Amen.
And collect our ways.
Amen. Thank you very much. That's a very important point. Look, some time ago there was a riot. Was it in Kano or somewhere? And I told somebody, I said, you see, there's a lot that has to do with why you decided to die. Do you follow me now? If you said, how can they set fire on my shop? You go and fight and they kill you. Now, you did not die on account of Christ. Are you following me now? You defended your shop. Are you following me? Okay. So, we have to get it right. Get right with Christ. If you will not die, you will not die. This one I believe, not one hair on my head will drop to the ground except my Father who is in heaven approves of it. But that Father, you must make sure that he's a Father to you. That is it. Praise the Lord. And like we have said, I think we all agree we have to pray and we have to be serious Christians. Yes, sir.
Cried and crying. He's in bankrupt court.
Okay.
On the Islamic insurgents. No other bishop or Pentecostal seems to
be interested.
Think that there was anything to worry about. At camp level, in spite of reports from Bochi most of the time and every I don't know what it is now that we have another as current chairman, but the attitude has been, well, that will die down, and we do not know that the Hausa Fulani Muslim is prepared to wait 30, 50, 100 years to arrive at his objective. We have always operated fire brigade approach, like you saw in the vision. They have unity. The reason that they thought if they were able to break Plato, they would get a new road to Nigeria it's precisely because the soldiers, as a place where they could overrun, they thought they could overrun. I know the Biron and the Angas are very, very, they're very warlike. But they will need a lot of support, which they are not getting. Because if typically, kind of what we saw here is that the police commissioner will travel out. So there will be no one to give me instruction. In the meantime, the Muslims will come and attack. Just at the time you have gone around to see whether you could report and you now try to retaliate, then the police commissioner will come and put a halt. In the meantime, you have suffered terribly. And they continue to do that. The other thing that I have seen and I have noted in Battle over Easter is that we don't know where our enemies are located. And one of the tactics in warfare is to identify where your enemies are. Another one is also to know what their weaponry is made of. Why do I say we do not know where our enemies are located at? The old Bumasho Road, just before you get to, just after, is it Gambari? You have them there.
Yeah, I call that place Bin Laden Camp.
Now, on the new road, it's already taken a place.
Yeah.
Apoluru there.
Yeah.
They are there.
Yeah.
And that's how they are dotted all over.
All
the place.
Over. Yeah.
And they are all connected to with radio, this transistor radio.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are connected. Years ago, one chief judge here went to went in the bush region to buy cow. Somebody went to buy cow. And he said, how am I going to get my vehicle there? And he said, the chief judge of this thing comes to us. Now, what does that mean? They go and pass information to them. They are far, far more informed than the most educated among us about the things that are going on. So, it's a lot of planning and scheming going on. Well, like we have always said, the Lord is on the throne. But he gave us this earth to dominate.
Yes.
And we cannot dominate it by word alone. There must be some kind of action.
Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anybody has anything to say? Well, please, over here. Okay.
It's likely to be 5 years. You know, Joseph, when he was translating the 37 years. A few weeks ago, I was sitting down in my sitting room watching a program. So, the northerners, they were showing agricultural something, these silos. So many. They were, you know, this is the recent.
For storage of food.
For storage, grains, and all these things. Just a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And what came to my mind was, all these silos.
Yes.
What are the southerners doing that we are not doing this here? I was talking to myself in my sitting room a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So if we have people in authority, I think we too should start planning that so that we won't be going to buy grains from the north.
Praise the Lord. I don't even think that they are storing the grains to sell to us. when they bring in their armies from across North Africa, they have to give them food now. I hope you follow my point. If you are preparing for war, one of the things that you must get ready to do is supply food to those who will be fighting. They come to the south to buy the grains. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. They come to the south. They go to markets. They load grains on vehicles and carry to the north and store. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think that we should just bring it to an end now. We have got some enlightenment. We should continue to pray. You should pass this on to some other people. Share this with other people. I have been discussing with Papa for some time. I am going to make some arrangements to have a larger forum, larger Christian forum, to share these things, to ask people to pray, because it's important. I feel that I have not disseminated information enough. I hope you follow me. And I think that there's need for a much larger Christian forum. Help me with your prayers too, that such plans will work out. It is not good to be silent. But things don't look okay. Let's bow our heads and begin to pray. I want us to give thanks to God for these things. For the grace to be His children. For the grace to receive from His Holy Spirit. For the grace to know the things that are set in the future. Let us thank Him because we know that in all these things we are more than conquerors. The devil is raging, but we know that we are victorious through Jesus Christ. Let us pray for wisdom. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. Jesus said it is given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We need to be able to discern what is going on in the enemy's camp and know what to do. We need knowledge, understanding. Let's pray for it. Not just as individual, but pray for the church. For renewal in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. The times are difficult. The times are perilous. Such evil does not draw lines. Believe me. Let not the southern Muslim rejoice. They don't know the difference. They don't. Let us pray that God will reveal their plans before they carry them out. And teach us how to diffuse all that they put together. We need God all the way. Let us pray that God will raise leadership among us. Sound leadership. People who are not held in bondage to the spirit of Mammon. People who have the Spirit of God in them, full of the Spirit. Let Jesus be glorified. Let's give thanks to God. Bless the name of the Lord. The Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for what we have shared this evening. We give you glory. We give you honor. Jesus, thank you for making us children of God. For by your Spirit, we know these things. And we know, Lord Jesus, nothing shall by any means hurt us. You said it, we believe it. Glory to your holy name. Father, accept our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen.